Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
When the Jewish council finished their interrogation and had sent us out to deliberate our fate, John and I were prepared for the worst. We couldn't deny that a man who had been crippled since birth had been standing there right next to us on his own 2 feet. So when the high priest demanded an explanation, wanting to know by what power or whose name we had done this, we didn't hesitate for a moment to speak the truth. The miracle was not of our doing, as though we had some superhuman powers of which they needed to be afraid. No, it was in the name of Jesus, the one they had crucified, the same one whom God had raised from the dead. It was in his name, the only name given among men by which they must be saved. It was on account of his name that this man who was lame now walked. There was no hesitation as we boldly made our confession. Now we await the council's decision. Perhaps they'll throw us into prison. It's bound to happen at some point, as it is for anyone who makes the good confession before determined enemies of Christ. Or maybe we'll get a good beating, as though a few bruises or broken bones will shut us up. Perhaps they will harass our families or ban us from the temple court. Who knows what schemes they will devise to silence us, but none of it will work. It can't work, because we know that there is salvation in no one else. And so we must confess. Truth be told, we've known this for some time, even if it wasn't always crystal clear to us. During the 3 years that we followed Jesus in his earthly ministry, day after day we witnessed the mighty acts of God through this man. We saw miracles of every kind, various healings, stilling of storms, multiplying of loaves. We watched as our master deftly handled his opponents, sometimes taking them to task for their unbelief, other times striking them speechless with his wisdom. And best of all, his teaching never ceased to amaze us. Whether it was an obscure kernel of truth hidden in a parable, or the way he simply said it with a few choice words and got right to the point. But as I stood before that council and was called upon to give an answer, what came to mind most vividly was one particular occasion when Jesus took all 12 of us with him to a faraway place, to Caesarea Philippi, and there put to us a question I will never forget. First, he asked what the crowds were saying. And who better to ask that question than his disciples? We're the ones who were with those men, those people, day after day, guiding those with needs to Jesus, helping to control the crowds when they got too large. What were we hearing? Well, that Jesus was unlike anyone they'd ever heard before. Those who had never stood in the presence of John the Baptist, nor heard him preach, but only heard the reports of him, they could have easily surmised that maybe John had been released from prison and was now preaching again. Their message was certainly the same, as both he and Jesus called us to lives of repentance. But maybe others thought they should aim higher, not John the Baptist, perhaps it was Elijah himself. Could this be that great prophet who had never died? Oh, how we need such a man of God, one who could slay the prophets of Baal fearlessly. Of course, we knew that it wasn't John, that in fact, John had been struck down recently by King Herod. And claiming this man, Jesus, to be Elijah, even that didn't go far enough. But who was he? That was the question that demanded an answer. And Jesus would get his answer as he put the question directly to us. Who do you say that I am? Not what are the crowds saying? What do my opponents think? What about you? Who do you say that I am? From that moment, I realized that my entire life would be defined by that question, and that I would never have the luxury of not giving an answer. Who do you say that I am? The world will forever try to define this man, twisting the words he spoke, denying the very acts that he accomplished. My Lord's opponents will forever deny him. And even his most ardent followers will time and again be tempted also to deny. I know this to be true, even of myself. When Jesus went on to predict about his passion and his death, did I receive his teaching in confident faith, believing that by following this road of suffering, he wouldn't somehow have my eternal salvation in mind? No, I rejected that word. And in doing so, I rejected him. For by having no part in his suffering and death, how could I think that I would have any share in the resurrection that he also promised? My Lord's rebuke was stinging. How could he call me Satan? Was I really opposing him that much? But that wasn't even his worst rebuke that I ever received. That came on another day. In fact, during the night, as Jesus was undergoing a trial, and as he looked at me, just as I had denied him a third time, all I was trying to do was to save my own skin. I couldn't let anyone know that I was connected to that man. I just couldn't. But with that look, I knew immediately that it was my own soul that I was forfeiting. That, I'm afraid, is the daily struggle for every follower of Christ. Day by day, I see more clearly what my Lord meant when he said to deny myself, take up my cross, and follow him. As I see the Lord add continually to the number of believers, I know what awaits them, the fiery trials that will bring grave testing. How easy it is for any of us to forget that our adversary truly is a prowling lion, just ready to devour us. Even this crippled man who now stood with us would face those trials and would hopefully not be too surprised by the opposition that would come. But I also know this, that insofar as I share in the sufferings of my Lord Jesus, I have every reason to rejoice. So let the world insult me for bearing the name of Christ. In this I have my confidence, that he himself bore my sins in his body on the tree. Let them ridicule me for believing my Lord's promise that he is with me always. In this I will be comforted, that the shepherd and overseer of my soul has brought me back to him. These trials may indeed test the genuineness of my faith, but in the end, by God's grace, I will rejoice with an inexpressible joy, for this is my confidence, that Jesus is my Lord, and this is my confession, that Jesus is the Christ.